Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is going to be a yoga podcast. Always a student, the Bob Davis Yoga Podcast. And in podcast 725, we're going to talk about four things related to yoga. One is the yoga challenge. Two is double dipping to win the yoga challenge. Three is black seed oil. And four is the Mandela effect. And there's one other one in there if I can jam it in within 30 minutes in this podcast. Podcast 725. Well, one of the things about yoga people is that we are obviously pretty concerned about what we put in our body. I drink water and coffee. Those are the only two things I drink. And of course, you'll hear me talk about Hydrus. I put Hydrus in my water when I go to yoga for hydration. Other than that, I don't drink anything but water. And I don't know about you, but I don't drink the tap water in my town. I don't fill my water bottles, from the tap. And there's a lot of reasons for that. For one thing, it's the taste. And then there's this question about possible pollution from decades ago. The city sent out this full disclosure thing recently that had a chart of all the things that may or may not be in the water. And it's horrifying. You got toxins that are odorless, tasteless, and colorless in the water. And then there's things like chlorine that are in there as part of the purification effort. So basically, I don't drink the tap water in my town. And I don't know where you live, but there's lots of places where people don't drink the tap water because it doesn't taste very good. St. Louis Park, Rogers, Maple Grove, Edina, Plymouth, or Minnetonka, places like that where the water isn't very good. And so you, if you're like me, are spending a lot of money on bottled water, and you're carrying in cases at a time, and there is a solution to this. So a friend of mine was telling me the other day that he can make my tap water more pure and better tasting than bottled water. And that is true. It's affordable, which is even better. So what I want you to do is, there's a banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com, and it says Water Butler. I want you to check out Water Butler. Click on that banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. I'm going to give you a number as well. These guys can set you up with a water purification system that will end your dependence on bottled water forever, save you a lot of bucks. 763-286-8328. If you live in St. Louis Park, Rogers, Maple Grove, Edina, Plymouth, or Minnetonka especially, listen up. It's time to purify your water right from the source with the Water Butler. They have 68 years of experience with plumbing, 30 years of experience with water filtration systems, qualified to work on all those systems. Call 763-286-8328. That's 763-286-8328. Or you can click on that banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. It says Water Butler. End your dependence on bottled water today with Water Butler. I entitle these podcasts Always a Student because I am not a yoga teacher. I do not teach yoga. I do not want to teach yoga. I take a lot of yoga classes. And these podcasts are about my experiences doing yoga. They're in no way, I don't have any authority when it comes to telling people what I've done or whether it worked or not or anything else. It's all about my experience with yoga and sharing it with people. And some people have similar experiences doing it, and they love listening to these podcasts. Oddly enough, a lot of people who listen to my other podcasts enjoy listening to this podcast. So it is a beautiful, hot summer night. It's a little windy. We're right in the landing path for aircraft. The reason I am doing this podcast this way, I'm kind of laying down on a hill on the grass because I did a lot of double dipping this week in yoga, and I'm exhausted, and I'm just afraid I'm not going to have the peace of mind or the focus necessary to get this done. So I'm just going to knock it out. And there's a bunch of stuff I want to talk about that I find fascinating. So let me just start with the yoga challenge. So the place where I do yoga, they do something called the yoga challenge quarterly. I guess it's pretty much quarterly. So spring, summer, fall, winter, at some point we do the yoga challenge. The yoga challenge originally started out where they'd put this grid up with 20 days on it, and you'd fill out your name, and you would do 20 classes in 30 days. And the challenges are so popular that they now have a 10, a 20, and a 30-day challenge. So you would do 30 classes in 30 days. And I'm, of course, made for that because I'm one of these yoga every damn day people, although I do take a day off once a week. So I usually do 6 and 7. And getting to 30 wouldn't be too difficult as long as I double-dipped a couple times during the week, right? So we're getting down towards the end of the challenge. And the thing that's interesting about the challenge is, you know, I have a theory that mostly type A people do yoga. I know that there are people who aren't necessarily type A or type double A. But most of the people that I know in yoga are pretty intense. And I think we do yoga because it helps cut that intensity a little bit, and it helps with lots of other things. So doing yoga every day makes a huge difference in energy. It makes a huge difference in balance. It makes a huge difference in how you feel about yourself and the world. And it's a really amazing thing to do, especially for people who are type A and they're always pushing, pushing, pushing. Well, the worst thing you can do with a type A person is put a grid up on the wall that says, oh, 30 and 30, because you know what's going to happen. Somebody like me is going to say, you know, if I doubled up for at least a week and a half, I could knock this out in 20. You know, I could knock this out. And so I put my name up for the 30, and I was the only person that put my name up for the 30. A couple days later, my friend Frederick put his name up there, and so now it's on. So both of us are sort of challenging each other without even speaking to each other. Because here's what happens. The type A people, and there's a couple teachers where I do yoga that I'm sure if they hear this will laugh, because we do what we call sandbagging, and that is, you go someplace else and you double dip like crazy and you come back and you put four or five X's up there. And of course, when people see your first three or four, they think, oh, because you've gone to another studio somewhere to do, you know, you've gone across town to practice. And so they see, oh, he's only done three. And then the next day they come back and there's five up there. So anybody who's in the challenge is like, damn it. You know, I gotta beat him. And so that's what's going on with me and Frederick. So we've been sort of dueling. One's ahead and one's behind. One's ahead throughout the last couple of weeks. And this last week of May was the week I decided to put the hammer down and start double dipping. And of course, I shouldn't have said anything because I told everybody I was going to be double. So I know Frederick knows, but he's doing that anyway. In fact, I said at one point to somebody, if I know Frederick, he's probably triple dipping, you know, to sandbag me. So, but I have had some really interesting experience double dipping. I don't just double dip because it's the challenge. The challenge makes it possible because you push yourself, because you're doing this yoga challenge. So you're going to push yourself to meet the challenge. You know, it's, you're setting a goal for yourself, and you're going to set a goal, and you're going to push to meet that goal. I'm one of these people. If I set a goal, I'm probably going to meet the goal. Sometimes I don't meet it as quickly as I want to, but most of the time when I set a goal for myself, I meet the goal. And as anyone who has studied these things knows, if you actually put a date on something and set a goal, your chances of actually achieving the goal just go straight through the roof. The more specific the goal, the more dates on the goal, the more chances you have to actually see the achievement of the goal. And of course, the yoga challenge is made for this kind of thing, because it's a defined number. It's a defined number of days, and all you have to do is 30 lessons in 30 days. So why not do, you know, why not do 30 lessons in 20 days? Because that's even better, right? So that's what I've been doing. And the thing about double dipping, it's really interesting, because at first, you don't think you can do it. And you struggle because you're doing all kinds of different classes. You know, you're doing, we have something, we have vinyasa yoga, which is move, you know, power yoga, basically. It's movement. And then we have static series like the 26 posture Bikram series, which we do in the hot room. And we also do something called an HPF, which is a weird bastard child that is Bikram and some other kind of vinyasa yoga that gets all wound up into a static series that doesn't make any sense to me, but I like doing it. I didn't like doing it at first. I started doing it, so now I like HPFs. So you do like a C2, which is the vinyasa, to an HPF, and that's your double dip. And most of the time you can do that. But the problem is with the scheduling, you can't always do that. So you got to take what comes. The other thing is, I like to do yoga sculpt, which is doing, it's more cardio, and there's more, it's yoga with weights, and it's pretty demanding. You know, I've certainly taken hot classes that are a lot harder than any sculpt class, but it's demanding in a different way. So sculpt is very demanding. And when I would do the double dips before, when I would do the challenges before, I would cut out the sculpt and just do vinyasa and hots. Bang, 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 bang. Do 20 in 10 and then go back to sculpt. So this time I decided that's kind of cheating, so I'm going to continue. And by the way, there are people that do double the, they double up on the sculpts, you know, to meet the challenge. So I'm certainly not at the top of the list in terms of people that are capable of, you know, doing crazy things and amazing things in yoga. Doubling up on H, doubling up on sculpts is amazing. And for the people that can do it, it's amazing. I wouldn't attempt it, but you never know. Maybe one of these days I will. But I did this time decide to keep my sculpt schedule, which is three times a week. So I kept my sculpt schedule. And then around that, I did double dips. The problem with that is you got to take what you can get coming after a sculpt or before a sculpt, which brings me to my first point. So you hear teachers talk about mind over matter all the time. One of the things that you'll hear in most yoga classes is teachers will say, they'll have you doing something that seems really hard, and they will say, yes, you can. And I always thought it was a joke, you know, like, oh, it's from the Obama campaign, yes, you can, and I laughed. But what they mean is mind over matter. And I never understood mind over matter. I just swallowed a mosquito. Until I did this spate of double dipping. So one of the things that I experienced when I did this double dip thing from HPF to a sculpt the other day was that I got about halfway through the sculpt, and I got a little bit more than halfway through the sculpt, and I got super anxious. I started freaking out about money. I started freaking out about my rent. I started freaking out about, you know, the work I need to get done on my car. I started freaking out about my business. And it was pronounced. I almost had to stop. Now, I was pretty fatigued at this point, okay? And we're talking about mind over matter and how I never understood what mind over matter meant, because really, I never had any problem doing yoga. Even when I was taxed, I could do the poses, and so mind over matter really didn't make too much sense to me, except I thought it meant you just jam yourself into side crow and you'll be all right. That's not what it means. And I discovered this late in life just the other day. So I thought to myself, why am I so anxious? What's the problem with why am I so anxious? And then I realized that my body was trying to get me to stop. And so I put it out of my mind and went back in. It didn't leave the room or anything, but, you know, went back in mentally to the sculpt class, forgot about the anxiety, and I had a great class. The rest of the class was just killer. And I was tired, and I was exhausted. But the cool thing is I learned that lesson about mind over matter, that, you know, your mind will try to get you to stop. And that's a lesson that carries far beyond the mat. I mean, that's a lesson. Your mind is constantly telling you things that you can't do, shouldn't do. You're going to look like a fool. This isn't going to work. You're going to fail. You always fail. That your mind is constantly telling you things to get you to stop. You know, people who take special forces training, you know, of course, they learn that when they're 19 years old. It took me my entire life to figure out, you know, almost my entire life to learn this on the mat. But, you know, once you learn that lesson, you know. So now I don't quit, you know, because I know when my mind starts telling, you know, screaming, when my mind starts saying, you know, you're tired, you're sweating, you know, you have low blood sugar or something to that effect, which also happened. I'll tell you about that in a second. You know, you don't have to listen to the mind. You can go beyond that. Anybody who's been through sports training, anybody who's done a lot of yoga, anybody who's been through military training already knows that. So I learned that really important lesson this week. So if you're going to double dip yoga, or if you are going to be doing a lot of yoga, you know that hydration is really, really important. And there's all kinds of hydration products. I use a product that I think is probably the best, the most revolutionary, the most incredible hydration product there is. It's called Hydrus. You can find out about it at hydrusperformance.com. This is a new system that uses nanosome technology to put electrolytes into your muscles with lightning speed. It's amazing. If you drink a bottle of water If you drink even Gatorade before a yoga class, it's going to take 20 to 30 minutes before that water to take effect. And by that time, you're going to be laying on the mat sweating and you're going to be dehydrated. And that's why, that's the number one cause that people have in terms of being flagging in any kind of physical activity, running, CrossFit, yoga, things of that nature. So what this stuff does is it hydrates you. It gets electrolytes into your muscles quickly without using sugar. So, for example, I'm going to talk about blood sugar in this podcast, and blood sugar is really, really important to, and especially for people doing the protein diet or doing anything that lowers their blood sugar. You know, you don't want to be messing around with stuff that's got sugar in it, especially if you have to watch your blood sugar. So those kinds of drinks that use sugar to get electrolytes into your muscles are less efficient, and they don't work as fast, and they don't work as effectively as Hydrus. If you're already using Hydrus, I'll just give you a suggestion. Double up on the Hydrus. When you buy it from HydrusPerformance.com, you get a bottle of concentrate, and then you can mix that concentrate into 16.7 ounces of water. So, you know, either some kind of a reusable water bottle or, you know, a bottled water product. And, you know, they have two great flavors, lemon lime and orange. I prefer the orange. Other people like the lemon lime. So just remember, HydrusPerformance.com, HYDRUS, HydrusPerformance.com. It is an amazing hydration product. It will transform your yoga practice. It will transform your CrossFit practice. It will transform your ability in terms of running, tennis, whatever kind of physical activity that you're doing. Hydrus is really, really amazing. Click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com for more info about Hydrus, or go to hydrusperformance.com. So usually what you do is you do a sculpt, which is very much cardio and jumping around, and you're doing all this stuff, and you got weights, and you're lifting weights and doing all this stuff, and then you do a nice, hot, relaxing, hot class, and you're done. Well, I did the nice, relaxing, hot class, then I did the sculpt, and people do it all the time. And so that's one thing that really requires you to dig down and get it, and you don't think you can do it. That's the first thing. But the second thing that has to do with this, and this brings me to my second topic, is this thing called black seed oil. Not flaxseed oil, but black, B-L-A-C-K, the color black, black seed oil. I found out about this on YouTube, and as with most things on YouTube, you think, oh, this is just a scam. You know, this is nothing. This is some kind of weird scam. But I kept seeing all these videos about black seed oil pop up on my, feed. And I finally started watching them. And they're hilarious. But black seed oil supposedly has all these amazing properties. Of course, it cures cancer. But what it does do is it lowers your blood pressure and it lowers your blood sugar. So that I know it does, and I'll tell you why in a second. The other thing it does is it's a great topical anti-inflammatory. So if you put it on an area of your body that is in pain after class, it will go away. Now, if you take it internally, it really has great anti-inflammatory properties, and I know it because I've tried it and it works. And so I'm taking it internally, but I'm also using it as a topical on various parts of my body when I'm really in pain. So black seed oil, I didn't believe that it did anything. I just bought some. It's like $12 a bottle, so I bought some and I started taking it. And you take one or two teaspoons a day, twice a day, depending on, and don't take my word for the dosage, because I always figure if one is good, two is good. So I'll take two. So I'm taking two teaspoons of black seed oil twice a day. And I just figured, well, I'll give it a try and see what it does. So it does lower your blood sugar. Now I'm doing the protein diet, so my blood sugar is already low. I don't eat carbs. I don't eat chocolate. I don't eat sugar in any form. I don't put sugar in my coffee. Nothing. I have a very low intake of carbs, and occasionally I have to force myself to eat brown rice, which YouTube says you shouldn't either, by the way, or have a tortilla or something like that. I never eat potatoes. I never get French fries. I never eat bread. I never eat hamburgers with buns on the bread, and I don't eat sugar things. I don't eat tomatoes. I don't eat that much fruit. I get my citrus with aloe juice, which doesn't have any sugar in it because it's straight up aloe juice. I drink celery juice, things like that, but I do not have any carbs. And I lost a lot of weight doing it, and I'm trying to maintain my deal. So, I don't really want to eat carbs, although I will now eat carbs. And I will eat sugar occasionally. Like if I go out to dinner and there's a cheesecake on the menu, I might have cheesecake on one day of the weekend. Or I'll have egg rolls, or I'll have rice stick soup or something like that once a week. But I don't generally, as a rule, eat sugar. So my blood sugar is pretty low, actually. So it's pretty, and I've had it tested, so all of my cholesterol and that stuff is pretty low. So I start taking this black seed oil, and I've been taking it for about a week at this point, and I go to yoga class, and I double dip the HPF, which is the hot, relaxing, static series, into a Sculpt. This is about a week after I've been taking the black seed oil, and I had to leave the room. I couldn't breathe, and I literally, mind over matter, did not work that time because my blood sugar had just gone down so much. So I made it back into the room, finished the class, came home, and actually ate some chocolate in order to get my blood sugar, back up and running. So the thing about black seed oil, my theory is it lowers your blood sugar enough that your body will start eating the fat. And so I'm really excited. Let me tell you something. I'm really, really, really excited about black seed oil. I'm telling all my friends about black seed oil. I'm not getting paid to say this. They're not paying me. They didn't send me. They should be, but I think it's great. I've noticed that my skin feels different. My skin looks different, and that was one of the promises that they talked about when they talked about black seed oil. And it's just what it does is pretty amazing. So if you have dry skin, if you have high blood sugar, if you have high blood pressure, you might want to try this, because if it lowers blood sugar and blood pressure, then it might be a really good thing. They say it's basically human seeds. And there's a, it has a Latin name and everything, but I don't remember what it is. But it has a lot of properties. Cumin seed oil. So it's the cumin seed in concentrated form. They call it black seed because the cumin seed is very small and black. You can also get the seeds raw, and you can eat the seeds raw. I don't know if that has the same effect as the oil. Okay, so I talked about black seed oil. I've talked about double dipping. I've talked about the yoga challenge, which I think is a great, great thing. I love the yoga challenge. But I want to talk about double dipping and the effects of double dipping after a while on the psyche. And I don't know whether these are real effects or not, but they are very, very, very interesting to me. So when you're double dipping in yoga, you're obviously extending yourself physically about as much as you can. If you double dip or triple dip, today the thing about the yoga challenge is you get confused, and then they have a computer system that logs the classes that you go to. But if you go to a studio a lot and they forget to log you in, which happens, then you get down, you're counting, but the computer's not counting. And so if you want to be qualified to win the free month of yoga, let's say, then you got to make sure that your count equals the count in the computer. I don't do that. I go in, do my yoga, I leave, I don't know how many classes I had. So I had been keeping track, and I thought I had 30 today, and they said, oh no, you got 27. So I had to go and do another class this afternoon after I'd done one earlier today. So I did one at 4, came home, ate something, and then went over to St. Paul and did one at 7:30. Because, I want to win the yoga challenge. I want to finish first. It's not about getting the free month of yoga. It's about finishing first. So I've been doing the double dipping for a while, and I've done this before. Like, this happened to me when I did my, but now it's even more pronounced, and I don't know what's going on. I'm definitely vibrating at a higher level. I'm definitely in a great mood. I'm definitely feeling, I've had some very strange thoughts today that I'm not quite sure what to think of those strange thoughts. And so this is where we talk about the Mandela effect. So one of the things in the conspiracy world that I find fascinating is something called the Mandela effect. Okay, you hear that wind? You heard the plane? That's the wake of the plane. There's no wind out here except for those planes. Isn't that amazing? That's the wake of the plane. Anyway, I'll tell you one thing. It's better than walking out around here when it was 40 below zero, and when we had 20 inches of snow on the ground. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, the Mandela effect. So the Mandela effect is very hard to explain, but it involves time travel. And, you know, theoretically, time travel supposedly is possible. People say, well, that's impossible, right? Well, I don't know. And if you pay attention, you go onto YouTube, and I'm going to have to do a whole podcast about this because it's fascinating. This is like the flat Earth thing. People actually believe this. And I didn't believe it. The skeptic in me completely didn't consider it until something happened today. And maybe this is double dipping. And maybe this is something else. But this is the kind of stuff that occurs to me when I'm double dipping that I find it's so entertaining. It's better than television. So the Mandela effect is that they, fill in the blank with they. It could be the Illuminati. It could be the aliens. It could be, I don't know who they are. But they are changing the timelines. And the best way for me to explain that is a timeline is, okay, it's in podcast time, it's May of 2018. 10 years ago was 2008. 10 years before that was, 1998, and so on. So the year of our Lord, right? So we have a timeline going back to known history, and that's our timeline. Oh, no. They are messing up the timelines by traveling forward and backward in time and changing things. And there are tons of videos on YouTube about this, and they're so entertaining. Sometimes I can't stop watching them. They're great. And I thought, well, this is BS. And the best way to explain the Mandela effect is before Nelson Mandela died, people thought he had already died. And so when he finally died, people were like, he's dead. He's been dead. And I thought Morgan Freeman was dead. But now Morgan Freeman is now indicted for, or going to be, or, you know, he's being accused of all sorts of things. Anyway, yeah. So, and I swear to God, I thought Morgan Freeman was dead. But the whole timeline thing is that they're changing the colors, like the McDonald's logo changed, the types of planes have changed, and this is all because they are going back in time and they're changing the timelines, and so things change. Well, of course, any rational person would say, well, that's absolute nonsense. Oh, no. Because something happened to me today that convinced me that possibly, just possibly, they could be right. And this is the weirdest thing. So I said in the last podcast, my father fell when he was, I don't remember how old he was, probably 42, 40, something like that. He fell outside and he fell and hit his head on the side of a concrete step. It was a very, it was an early spring morning. The guys were outside to pick him up to carpool downtown to work. And he, sorry for the wind, but there, that's what that is. And he ran out and slipped on a very, you know, in the spring how it will rain or there's some, you know, condensation and you'll have a sheen of ice, basically black ice. He slipped on it and he fell and he hit his head on the step and didn't have any ill effects. He was dizzy and, didn't go to the doctor. Went to work and he was okay. And that's the way my dad was. We'd go to work and he kept going to work, until almost till the day he died. He worked up until 2 weeks before he died, much, much later, and not because of this head thing. But what's interesting is that he later in the summer collapsed and it turned out that he had a blood clot on his brain. And at that time, they operated on him to get rid of the blood clot. And I was always told, so this is a memory that I have that I'm absolutely sure of. I was told that he had a steel plate put in his head, a little steel plate to close up the skull where they had to go in to get the blood clot out. That the blood clot was at the top of his brain almost. And I remember he showed me where it was. It was on the side of his head. There's a steel plate in there. I remember stories about my dad going through metal detectors at the airport that he always told that he set the metal detectors off and he'd have to tell him, I have a steel plate in my head and all this stuff. So I'm talking to the general manager of the Bob Davis podcast today. And She says she heard that podcast where I talk about my dad having a steel plate in his head, the last podcast I did about the Boy Scouts. And she goes, he did not have a steel plate in his head. And I'm like, what? She claims that they took what they call a plug from another part of his skull and fashioned it into a plug and put it in the skull, and that he did not have a steel plate in his head. And I was like, and we had a fight about it. And she insisted that I was crazy. Mm-hmm. And you know how it is, your mom. You know, I was like, there's no way. Because I remember him telling me about this. Well, you go right ahead and think that. Well, that infuriated me. So I called my sister up and I said, did Dad have a steel plate in his head? And she said, well, I don't remember anything like I don't remember anything like that. Now, I could get upset about something like that. But you know what I figured out? I thought, wait a minute. What if this is the Mandela effect? What if, this is the kind of stuff that goes through your head when you're double dipping. What if they really are messing with the timelines and we don't notice it because it's stuff like McDonald's logos and the shape of airplanes and stuff that you don't think about because it doesn't happen all at once. But what if they're messing with the timelines and I just uncovered a perfect example of the Mandela effect? Because let me tell you, I did not make up the steel plate thing. I said this to my mom. Why would I make something like that up? Where would that have possibly come from, that I would have made that up? And so at first you could say, well, am I going crazy? Oh, no, you're not going crazy. It's just now what's happening is your consciousness has risen to the point where you can see, you can get a definite example of the Mandela effect. I do think that double dipping raises your consciousness. Now, I don't know if that's a spiritual thing or if it's just because of the endorphins and everything else. But like, right, I did two classes today, very difficult vinyasa flow classes, one of which was a little bit more spiritual than the other one. But I'm telling you, I am high as a kite right now. I mean, I don't mean it in a druggy way. I'm just saying I feel great right now because of it. So I highly recommend double dipping because maybe it does raise the consciousness and maybe it does cause you to think something that you didn't. But I can tell you one thing. It also teaches you lessons like, yes, you can. It does teach you, you know, what that means when they talk about mind over matter. So I also highly recommend the black seed oil. Obviously, I highly recommend Hydrus for hydration. And I told you about that. And I really love the challenge and the idea of competing and working hard in a friendly way with people that you care about that are in the community to do yoga and get better and better and better to practice and have a lot of fun. So if you are checking out this podcast and you never heard the Bob Davis podcast before, check out the page at thebobdavispodcast.com and check out all the podcasts, 725 of the podcasts about all kinds of things. Appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and my favorite Instagram. And I also appreciate the donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. News coming up on Mobile Podcast Command soon. So keep listening for that. I also appreciate people listening to the Bob Davis podcasts on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, Google Play. I mentioned TuneIn. There are lots of these services, whether they are apps like Podbean or PodSearch is a website where you can find the podcast. Google Play, Stitcher.com works great with Android devices. iTunes, of course, is the granddaddy of podcast distribution. Appreciate you listening to those podcasts, my podcasts on those podcast services, as well as right off the page at the Bob Davis podcast.com with streaming, and you can also subscribe to the feed right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. So thanks for listening to podcast 725. Always a student, the Bob Davis Yoga Podcast. A little crazy and weird, but then I feel a little crazy and weird. Here comes another plane right over my head, so I'm going to say goodbye. Engines were bigger on that plane. Mandela effect! Mandela effect! Mandela effect, in effect. People are gonna think I'm crazy. Well, I'm crazy, so it's perfectly all right. Okay, we got a long night of television viewing ahead. Better get to it.